Hey, Gal Pal Nation, are you ready for football? It's time for some two-a-days, where each NFL team is broken down by experts to get you ready for game day. Everything you need to know and a few tips to impress the pickiest of football fans. Now, your host, the Sports Gal Pal herself, Ramona Rice.
Gal Pal Nation, if you're looking forward to waving your terrible towels, this is the two-a-day for you. I have from Next Fan Up, the Steelers superfan, Greg. Welcome to the Sports Gal Pal.
Thanks for having me. I love to be on.
Okay, great. Let's get right to it. Steelers. You guys have been so impressive the past decade, really. Just consistently good, consistently always striving to be in playoffs, deep runs in playoffs, a couple of Super Bowl championships. What do you owe to that success?
It's really easy when it comes to the Steelers. Stability. It's all about Dan Rooney, the owner. Just not resisting the whims to change the GM and the coaching staff when they have tough times, and just building off the draft and not going in signing the big name guys, just staying with their plan and being consistent year to year.
Yeah, I mean, and let's talk about that. You guys, you keep coaches really forever. You never get rid of coaches, very rarely.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I think they're up to 40-some years now, only three coaches. I mean, in 1969, they got it right. They hired Chuck Knoll, and he carried the team all the way to, I think it was 1991 or 92. And it was amazing the foundation he built doing it the Steeler way. There's a lot of talk of doing it the Steeler way by building through the draft, and he was the one that started all that. So, and then you went in seamlessly into Cowher, who was a great fit for the organization from Pittsburgh and just really got the identity of the team. And then Tomlin was another great addition of being just a smart enough guy to know that he had to fit the Steeler way. And maybe that was his own identity to be in the consistency part of with what the Steelers wanted to do, the continuity of it all. So,
yeah. And the Steeler way really is very much a blue-collar, lunch-pail style of football where it's consistent, great defense. But what's interesting is the last couple of years, it's really been about your offense, led, of course, by your quarterback, Big Ben. How significant is he to your offense?
He is our entire team. I mean, that's a little bit dramatic. But with Ben, regardless of who else is on the team, they're a 9-7 football team. And then when you start adding in the excellent play of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, that's when this team really becomes a Super Bowl contender. So Ben, without Ben, there may be, you know, a 6-10 football team picking, you know, where the Browns normally pick. But with Ben, he guarantees them 9 wins a year or 8 wins a year, because I know they went 500 a couple years. But it's just amazing how consistent he is year in, year out. And he doesn't miss much time, regardless of what he's dealing with injury-wise.
Well, he's massive, too. Like, his body. He's just a big guy. I just think he's just – he could be a linebacker. I mean, he's huge.
He got close there a couple years ago. He supposedly was yelling at the Ravens that he got up to, like, 290 pounds or 280 pounds. It was ridiculous. It was like he was an offensive tackle or something. So, he is huge.
It's really hard to sack an offensive tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, you also mentioned your running back Bell, who got his suspension. Unlike Tom Brady for the Patriots, he got his suspension reduced. How important is that for your guys' success jumping into the season right away?
It's huge. I mean, just having Bell is huge. The impact of him missing 2 games versus 3 games is obviously good, but the real important thing is last year it was demonstrated greatly when we got into the playoffs, just how instrumental he is for the team, because they just looked like a totally different team with him and then without him. And there's some great stat out there: when he's not in the lineup, the Steelers are 0-4 during his 2-year career so far. So that just speaks to how great he is and how much he means to the team, that he just turns any little dump off when Ben gets in trouble into a dynamic play. So it's really great.
How are they looking? I mean, have you been keeping up with training camp and seeing what's going on?
I have been. The offense is looking great from everything that the great Alex Kozora for Steelers Depot posts on his timeline. unlike him, I'm not as lucky to go to training camp. But man, the offense, they're wondering if they're going to score 35 points this year consistently, which is just, I mean, normally it was the Steeler football way of doing things is 3 yards in a cloud of dust and only scoring 17 or 21 points. To score 35 points now, which would put them amongst the highest scoring offenses in the league, it's just such a mind blower for me. I can't even comprehend it. But everybody, I mean, the offensive line's good. The wide receivers are great. The tight ends are consistent. The running backs are great. And of course we have Ben, but who knows about the defense? So they've homegrown the guy they hired to replace Dick LeBeau. His name is Keith Butler. And he's been in the wings waiting to take over the defense for at least 4 or 5 years now. So it's going to be interesting to see the subtleties that he changes versus Dick LeBeau. But the overall defense should be basically the same. But, you know, I it's just my own theory when I said the defense is almost insignificant or an afterthought is that with just the rule changes, they're making it harder and harder for the defenses. So it's just interesting to see where that's going to go. And maybe Keith Butler hopefully brings back an era of defensive football for the Steelers. But as of right now, they're go, 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 score, score, score. So,
well, yeah. And I don't know. I don't really like football that way, which is ironic because I'm an Eagles fan. So I'm going to be seeing a lot of go, 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 hopefully score, score, score. you're like, I don't have to deal with that. I know who my coach is. So, yeah. So which ones coming up this season, though, are important? Like, if I have a Steelers husband, which are the ones that I definitely do not need to pick, like, plan? Let's do apple picking this Sunday. No, don't do that.
Yeah. Well, I think I said the second half of the schedule, not only because they get closer to the playoffs where games get – the importance of the games get magnitude – that magnitude increases. But they have like this historic schedule from week 12 on where they just play a run of games. That's going to be, it's almost like a, like college football gauntlet where it's real easy at the beginning and then it really rams up and gets to be very difficult. So I'd say from week 12 on, those games are all, it's not even gonna be a debate. I'm going to be watching all of them because they're great matchups. They're divisional games. They're, Peyton Manning's going to be at Heinz Field. Those are the games that everyone wants to see. And then the NFL has also helped us out this year with the schedule early on. They've maximized – in the NFL, you can only have 5 primetime games. That's just a rule, a general TV rule for the teams. And the Steelers are maxed out this year with the 5 primetime games. And the first couple weeks of the season, they're at the Patriots, which is in primetime. And then they go 2 weeks where they're playing at 1 o'clock against NFC teams. So nobody – if you want to go pick apples, those are the days to do it. And then October 1st in week 4 and then October 12th in week 5, those are both primetime games again. And then you go back to your 1 o'clock games. So the NFL has really helped out the Steeler fans by showing them not only are they giving them primetime games, but those are the only games you really want to watch in the first half of the season. So
besides great offense, a defense that looks like it's improving, you know, the fact is you are still in a very competitive division. You know, those divisional matchups, you've got Baltimore, who unfortunately for you, I don't have any personal opinions on them whatsoever, but they seem to, you know, every once in a while knock you guys down. And then you got those pesky Bengals up there and Andy Dalton going, I might win a playoff game someday. I'm going to try real hard. So how are you guys combating that?
Well, the Ravens, it's so difficult to be in their division. They're a great franchise. As much as I hate them, I must admit that they're great. They even draft the same type of players. It's tough being in their division. So that's just a year in, year out fight. And we're lucky right now because I don't want to hate on Joe Flacco. He did go to Pitt for, and that's where I went to school, but Ben's better than Joe Flacco right now. And I think that's what edges out Baltimore most times is that if both teams are totally even, Ben prevails. And then with Cincinnati, they're really good at building their team. It's just they're in that QB purgatory. And I feel bad for Andy Dalton. He looks like a really nice guy. He just cannot play with the big boys when it comes to January football. But The AFC North is the best division in football, and do not let anyone tell you differently. It is the best division in football. It just so happens that the Browns have to be in it with everybody else. It's just tough for them. But
I don't know if it's the best. I mean, it's consistently good, but it's not. It doesn't have as much drama as like the NFC East, for example. But again, well, I'm biased because
But does drama mean it's good? I mean, you know,
we have a lot of time. No one in our division has broken any quarterback's jaws yet, though. I will say we have that going for us. For both of us, really. Come on. It's just fun to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, I mean, whoever wins the AFC North every year is a direct Super Bowl contender. It doesn't matter. And you can't say that about a lot of other divisions. They have such a hard time coming out of the division that I think it toughens them. And just the style of play, I think, translates good to January. So I'll put the AFC North's record against any other division. I just think they end up prevailing most times when you look at, you know, if you do the hokey stuff where you look at division versus division records over a 5-year period and stuff like that, the AFC North normally comes out on top of all that. But,
well, performance doesn't lie, and the Steelers consistently, like you said, 45 years of excellence says a whole story. So, Greg, where can Galpel Nation check you out? Do you know when you're going to be on Next Fan Up next? That's a lot of next.
We're doing a podcast every Thursday or Wednesday night. I think it's Thursday nights, and we're doing a podcast every Sunday night with game recaps. And I will be on this Sunday night, so you can check us out at Next Fan Up at Blog Talk Radio. And we also have our Twitter handle is at NextFanUp.
Yeah, and the guys tweet you. The guys, seriously, if you people of Galpel Nation, let me tell you, if you want to find out more about specifically your team and cheer your favorite super fan on, they will respond to you as evidence as I'm getting all of them on my show. So it is a great podcast. If you're not going to listen to mine, which is silly, you absolutely should because I'm fantastic. Absolutely check out blogtalkradio.com/NextFanUp. Greg, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you. Hopefully your terrible towel waves a long time. Maybe we'll get a Keystone State Super Bowl. I keep wanting one.
That would be amazing. I hope so.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Gal Pal podcast. And be sure to check out sportsgalpal.com.